The following sermon was delivered by Rabbi Joshua Davidson on Friday, July 25th, 2014.
Dear friends, as many of you know, in late June, when the three innocent Israeli teenagers kidnapped by Hamas had not yet been found murdered, and the Jewish world still only feared the worst, the Presbyterian Church's General Assembly voted to selectively divest from three companies it claimed furthered the Israeli occupation in Palestine. In doing so, the denomination's governing body cast its lot with the global boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement that seeks to delegitimize the state of Israel and blame it for the conflict. The decision, though stunning in its ignorance and bias, was really not all that surprising. With the denomination's publication of Zionism Unsettled, a congregational study guide on the conflict, which is both anti-Zionist and anti-Semitic, and with its continual debate over divestment at each of its general assemblies dating back 10 years, the momentum seemed to be building toward this decision, close though it was. Maddeningly, even with all the resentment generated by the vote, on July 16th, the stated clerk of the Presbyterian Church USA, the national body, issued another biased statement blaming the abduction of those three Israeli teens on the, quote, illegal Israeli occupation, unquote, as if Hamas were not even involved, and asserted that Hamas rockets started firing only after Israel's military began its pursuit of the kidnappers and Israeli terrorists brutally murdered the Palestinian teen. That was an atrocious act of vengeance. But the claim was untrue. Hamas has been firing rockets for years. They've never stopped. Thankfully, the resolution of the Presbyterian Church USA General Assembly seems not to reflect the attitudes of most Americans, as a recent Pew Research Center study indicated, or of most Presbyterians, but rather, as the outcome was described by our colleagues, the views of slightly more than half of the small group of representatives elected by their local presbyteries to attend the denomination's biennial leadership meeting. The pastors of New York's largest Presbyterian churches, distraught over the vote, have been vocal in their opposition to the divestment resolution. And this past week, I was invited to a meeting with three of them, three of my own rabbinic colleagues, and the moderator and vice moderator of the General Assembly. The meeting was called by our local pastors so that we and they might have the opportunity to share with the church's national leadership just how hurtful the resolution was and to help us understand the process that led to it. One source of frustration that became clear, exasperating not just to the Jewish community, but to my Presbyterian colleagues as well, is the procedure by which such weighty decisions are brought to and considered by the denomination's governing body. Simply put, the church fails to educate broadly and prepare adequately its 600 commissioners on the issues. And so often, the loudest voices carry the greatest influence. Sadly, tragically, one of the most strident voices at the church's General Assembly was the Jewish Voice for Peace, which, despite its name, is an organization representing not even a significant minority of the Jewish community, but rather a fringe group that has called not just for divestment, but also for the suspension of the U.S. military support for Israel, which has been critical in saving millions of Israelis from harm. Without the U.S.-supported Iron Dome defense system, population centers all across Israel would have been under a barrage of rocket fire. But this was the voice that many of the church's leaders chose to hear, in spite of letters signed by hundreds of rabbis and the efforts of the Union for Reform Judaism, the American Jewish Committee, the Anti-Defamation League, and other mainstream Jewish organizations urging them to reject divestment. The most important outcome of our meeting was a commitment to strategize together with our local colleagues and the denomination's leadership how to repair the damage to what has been a critically important interfaith partnership. My colleagues and I have committed to working with the church's leadership to broaden its understanding of the history and complexity of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and to expose them to a multiplicity of voices and viewpoints. One step, we hope, will be a joint mission to Israel with American Presbyterian and Jewish clergy. At the local level, we will encourage synagogues and churches to enter into meaningful dialogue and study. In Manhattan, we are blessed with Presbyterian congregations and colleagues who are sensitive to Israel's struggle. In partnering with them, we can model the sort of relationships that churches and synagogues might create around the country, building from the ground up a greater understanding of the existential threats that Israel faces, so that in 2 years' time, when the denomination's leadership gathers again, they will rescind the divestment resolution. It seems unlikely that they will reverse direction before that time. However, when we brought to the moderator's attention the biased, inaccurate pronouncements still up on the denomination's website, he indicated he would make certain that future statements address the conflict with less bias and greater accuracy. Finally, and perhaps most importantly, we agreed to look at the divestment resolution, certainly a nadir in the recent history of the Presbyterian-Jewish relationship, as an impetus to renew and strengthen our interfaith efforts. It was a productive conversation and a ray of light in the darkness of this very difficult time. Even as we were speaking, a missile penetrated the Iron Dome defense shield and landed in Tel Aviv. Israeli soldiers were dying and missing. And now 800 Palestinians, most of them innocent victims, have been killed. Golda Meir said it so poignantly of previous Arab-Israeli struggles. "We can forgive them for killing our children," she said. "We cannot forgive them for forcing us to kill their children." This is what Hamas does when it places rockets in schools and hospitals and tunnels under mosques. We do not ration our tears. We shed them for the Palestinians dead just as we shed them for Israel's. In Parashat Maaseh, we witness how Moses records each step along the Israelites' journey from Egypt to the Promised Land, and how in the middle of the telling, he pauses to recall the Egyptians who perished during the 10th plague, the death of Egypt's firstborn, which we remember with the 10th drop of wine on our Seder plates. And we know the rabbinic teaching in the Seder service, how after the Israelites had crossed the Red Sea to freedom and the angels began to sing with joy, God rebuked them, saying, "My children are drowning. How dare you sing?" Until this conflict ends, our cup is lessened for each life lost, Israeli and Palestinian. And until Israel is secure, we stand with our brothers and sisters and soldiers there, the cradle of our history, our spiritual home. May the one who makes peace in the heavens help us create peace on earth. Lo yehi. Amen.